Congratulations on your film, Matt. Now, of course, Bleeding the Demon almost sounded like it was a horror film, but it was a personal horror film, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Considering it's a life journey about you coming out of a situation that was really difficult. Well, people have to see the film, but and you can talk about it. But how did you come to filmmaking? Because that's not where you first began, is it?
No, not at all. I'm not from a filmmaker background at all. I'm just a school bus driver that had a story to tell, and something coming through was telling me to do it. And I think from just, I can't really explain why, but it was always in there, something telling me to do it. And I think it was built off the hope, that maybe I could help someone and show them that at the end of the day, as deep and as dark as where I was, to turn around and to get, get where I got and where I am now. I just wanted to show it, and I thought maybe I'll get a camera and I'll have a go and I'll write some stuff down and I'll see what I can do. And that's where it really stemmed from at the very beginning.
Well, you're the writer and the producer, and the film uses a lot of scripting to be able to lead us as viewers through your drama. It's quite complicated but very clear scripting. So tell me, you're a good writer. You've done a good job. So tell me about that.
Well, that's kind of funny because this is the bizarre thing. There was no script for any of this. I started off with, I guess, a folder or a book, which I thought in the very beginnings, I thought I didn't really know what I was going to make. I didn't know how I was going to make it. And I had a folder. It was full of writings and ideas, pictures. I was going to have people on it. I thought I might do this, I might do that. And in the end, I didn't use any of it. I didn't even open the book. And I just sat in front of my computer for maybe days and thought, where am I going to start with this? What am I going to do? I did have initial campfire footage where I sort of tell the story, the bulk of it. So I had that, and I just would sit there and I'd sort of flick through, and I didn't know what I was doing. And then eventually I just got in this flow state and just started editing bits and pieces to like the story. And that's all it was. They're obviously voiceovers, yes, they're scripted. I'd have writings that I'd write down or whatever. But other than that, there was no script, there was no formula, it just poured out of me. And that was a bizarre thing at the very end when I watched it back, or as I was watching it, I'm like, this is becoming something. And the way it happened, it was a weird thing. It just formed and it just poured out. It was like a healing, I guess you could say. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
By the end of it, I was interested in how you shot it. And I said, was it your relative who shot it for you, your brother, or?
Yeah, it was my brother. My brother had so I went to him, and he's got some camera gear, and he just set up a tripod and some sound things. I don't really know exactly what he was using or what he did, but he'd set up this set all that up for me, and yeah.
The reason why I'm putting it to you is that it's incredibly heartfelt, and the testimony effectively that you give to camera and your friend gives to camera as well is incredibly honest.
Yeah.
And for a moment I thought you just set up a camera and was talking to the camera, but actually it made much more sense that you were talking to somebody who was a trusted individual.
Well, yeah, I did. What your first thought is correct. I was talking to a broomstick, but my brother was just off to the just to the right. So every now and then, it took me 5, 10 minutes. I'd sit there and hum and ha and not really know where to go or what to do with it. And then he'd prompt me, or he'd ask me a question, and I'd think about it, and then off I'd go. And once I got going, it just flowed out. It was 3.5 hours of talking. So that was reduced down to maybe 15, 17 minutes in total.
And now the next thing, of course, is that you use animation, and you use some really delightful cartoon character type people or to illustrate your feelings. Where did they come from? They were really quite dramatic.
So yeah, I wanted to use like the Mickey Mouse or vintage style or like Popeye, that sort of imagery. So what I did was I sort of drew a rough sketch of what I wanted to use, And then what I would do is I took a photo of it, and then I just used AI and to produce for each emotion, I would say, this is, I'd read it my voiceover for that section and say exactly what I'd want to do, and it would produce rough versions, and I'd come in and out, and that's basically what they were.
That was really interesting, as well as the animation, the
The
monster.
animation that was made, yeah, no, that was made by, I used someone to build that for me. I don't exactly know how or what they did, but I enlisted someone to create that little, it was maybe a minute and a half snippet that I had, and that's been edited down into what it is, yeah.
As
So
well as
it come
the,
out good, yeah.
yeah, no, it came up really well. And the other thing that's really interesting, because there's a lot of clarity in this film, the early stuff with the little kid. I mean, that was terribly moving and quite dramatic just to watch, I'll have to say. How did you get that piece put together? The little child and the reenactment and stuff like that, how did that come
Yep.
about? Because it was very effective.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, I had someone, I reached out to someone to, it's, they've just created it using, I don't know exactly what they've done, to be honest. I just enlisted someone to make like and the animation, that was part of the animation as well. So that was all one piece, but it had been split up. So the little boy, it was just a representation of myself when I was a kid. So on the bus, that's all, I gave them a criteria of what I wanted, and then they put it all together for me.
Oh,
So
wow,
yeah,
that's really
came out like
fascinating.
that.
That's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
All
Yeah, so
right.
I gave them a detailed brief of what I wanted and just went over it and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And yeah, that's what we come up with. And it's been split up, and I've removed sections out of it that just didn't suit it, as I thought, oh, this would work well. But yeah, so it's been a little bit condensed, but I could still use what I was given, and it worked well, I think, just taking sections out and using it, placing it around a story.
Well, it did work really well. The other thing was the use of old photos. Use inserted those into the overall script as
Yeah.
well, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, I had a thought, like, because I knew, like, to try and tell my story and to get an idea of, I guess, that progressive, I guess it was based around my weight as a kid, and the progressiveness of it, to see, like, just how you could just, I knew if I showed all those pictures, you would get an idea of how things were for me. And, as it went through, you could just visibly see it. And I knew all through life, all my high school, primary school photos. Yeah, it was never something I'd ever be proud of or ever want to be part of either. But just to have them in there, it just gives you a good idea, of where I was and how I sort of grew through that. Put them up there.
So you did the editing.
I did everything. Other
Yeah.
than sound design at the end, I had a Michael Pritchard, who's my cousin, and he did the sound design, like the mastering, and done his magic there, whatever he does. I'm not across this stuff very well. I just basically brought a computer, had an idea, and I got going. I downloaded Premiere Pro, and I started to slowly under to work through that, and just, yeah, that's how it came about.
Well, you see, the key to telling a good story on film, you're making it quite clear, is actually, well, one, passion, but it's also being able to tell a story in a visual way and in a chronological way, which is what you are quite clearly are capable of doing. That's what you've done. I mean,
Yeah.
so all the technical supports is one thing, but being able to actually tell a story is another, and you do it, not everybody can do that. So quite clearly, you're a bit of a storyteller.
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know if that's the case, but it's clearly, it comes across that way. But I just think it was, I keep coming back to, like, it just something that flew through me or come out of me. Yeah, it's a very hard thing to, Yeah, I guess. All right. Yeah, I'm a good storyteller, I guess. But
No, you got to no,
yeah.
take the compliments where they're due.
Yeah, no, I definitely take it. But yeah, I don't look at myself as like either a filmmaker or a storyteller. I just had a story within me that poured out, and the way it come out, it just flew, it come out of me like that. So I don't even think of it that, yeah, I just, it's a, that's what I say when I, before, when I was saying that's a bit of a bizarre thing to, when I look at this at the very end and watch it from start to finish, the way it flows, the how good the story kind of explains and evolves through it. And yeah, it's a bizarre thing for me to watch that back and just think, I at the end of it, I go, how did I even get here? How did that even happen? Because it's weird. I don't even remember doing it in a way. It's a very strange thing. So,
Because when you're telling a
yeah.
story and you've got your elements, you have to make decisions about how they're going to flow together. And that's why when
Yeah,
you say, oh, the guy gave me these elements, and then I wanted it to fit into the, like it's like a piece of furniture. I wanted it to fit into that hole. And so you worked out how to make it fit. And they are actually the decisions that a storyteller does do. They make those decisions. And you've done that quite successfully in this film. It's got a lot of impact, this film. When did you decide you're going to send it to the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival? And you want, because you obviously want people to understand your journey.
Yeah, well, I was okay. Well, I was never going to send it anyway, really. At the end of the day, I just kind of built it for, initially was for my daughters to see the story, I guess, because they'd gone through a lot growing up with me, and I wanted them to understand that, you know, why it was so rough and tough through those times, that I, what, you know, that there was a lot more behind it, so that they could understand it. So that's initially what it was for. And then I think it was my brother, Brennan, who said, oh, why don't you put this in a film festival? I was like, oh yeah, what's that? Like, I don't know the world. I don't know any of this stuff. And he explained, and I said, oh, all right, yeah, let's have a go. And that's pretty much how that was. It was a suggestion, and I thought, all right. And I do want to help people, and I think there is something in it that a lot of people can find or get out of it. So why not, you know? When I was very stuck and down and broken, all I wanted was maybe a bit of help, or I could never seem to find anything that would help in a way that was meaningful, or to lift up, or to find hope in something. N nothing very meaningful. And so yeah, I thought, yep, let's, why not put this out there? It's quite terrifying, it's raw, and it's honest, but yeah, I think I can help someone with it now that I've sat back and looked at it, you know, from start to finish, and realized, yeah, there's something in it. And yeah, that's when Brendan's like, do you want to look at a film festival? And I started looking them up, and yeah, that's it, that's how it went.